You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, it's a scary show about ghosts and spirits. Are they inhabiting your house? Chances are you believe you've seen something you can't explain. Today, our experts offer protection from ghosts and rationale that they indeed do exist. Sound crazy? Good, you've come to the right place. Plus, a host of wild stories like, what can $50,000 get you at a strip club? And unlimited chicken nuggets. Let's meet the friends. Careful, ladies, you might get pregnant if he casts his gaze at you from across the room. It's Chris Martin.
Phil, China has just taken the next step towards world domination.
Oh, you'll see the connection later, I promise. Hey, if you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks at iTunes read your comments. They notice your five-star review. And in all deference to the iTunes folks, in a matter of days, we're just waiting for the Google folks to release. They're going to start having podcasts available on Google Play. So for the majority of people who have Android devices and who use Google Play instead of iTunes on their PCs, you will be able to get this program whenever you want to on Google Play.
Look at that. More platforms. Bring it on.
That's right. Mm-hmm. When I say we are everywhere you could find a podcast, this continues to be true.
Omnipresent.
So loving that. Loving the Android people for taking care of things there. We got our approval. We're just waiting for them to launch it. So, by the way, today also is National Cat Day.
Oh.
Just put that tidbit away in the back pocket of your brain for just a little bit. And later in the program, we will massage it right out of that back pocket, and it will come to the fore, and we'll have some fun with it. Yeah, that's right.
That's how I used to communicate with the cat that I had. I found him in a junkyard, and when I wanted to call him, I would purr at him.
No kidding.
Or meow.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he would come every time.
What was the cat's name?
His name was RC because that's where I found him. I was working at RC Construction at the time, found him in the yard. But then he turned into a mangy cat. He turned into an alley cat that would only come over to eat like once every 2 days a week. And the rest of the time he was out, I think, fighting raccoons.
Really?
And knocking up other cats in the neighborhood.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's what cats do. They knock up other cats.
Yeah. Then one day he just stopped coming around.
Yeah. You know what? There hasn't been a whole lot of knocking up in China for some time.
Mm-mm. No. They've had a policy against that.
Yeah?
Yes. And now China's decided to end its decades-long one-child policy, and families are now allowed to have two children. It's not like they went nuts and said, okay, have as many kids as you would like. They went from a one-child policy to now being able to have two children.
Now, did they achieve what it is that they wanted to achieve?
They did. They did. As a matter of fact, I'll give you some numbers on that. China enacted the one-child policy in 1979, tried to slow the population growth.
Yeah.
And since then, that policy has estimated to have prevented 400 million births. So they are 400 million less people than they would have been were it not for the policy.
But and now they've decided what? They want more people?
Yes, they have decided that. And the reason is because they have rising social costs. People are getting older. A lot of the older generation is getting older. And mm-hmm. China's very big on taking care of their elder generation.
Yeah.
And a falling number of workers. So this is all prompting change. Remember, back with the one-child policy, violations resulted in fines. You could lose your job. There were forced abortions. It created a gender imbalance. So hopefully this is going to bring a lot of things back into balance for them. But
now, a gender imbalance. Why? People wanted boys over girls?
That's right. Yes. Because if you could only have one child, then, and don't forget, this is a male-dominated society, like many societies, especially older societies.
Right.
They would choose the male over the female. So if you had a female, they would make sure to, what's a delicate way to put it? Change the situation so you would have a male.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So ugly any way you look at it. It's
but
difficult.
Getting better. You know, that's the way I decide to look at it, is that it seems like they're making some changes over
right.
there. Hopefully this
well, the old
better.
Thing about the million-man army, perhaps now they could just ratchet that up to 100 million man.
It's going to be a 2 billion man army. By the way, China currently has a population of 1.36 billion people.
Yeah.
And 30% of those are over the age of 50. So that's what brought in this new policy of having two children. But they're going to get to probably 2 billion within the next 10 years.
Yeah. All right. More people to make things in China and more people to hack. Right?
Right.
More hackers. Is that stereotypical? Is that wrong? Is that racist?
Yes. Yes and yes.
Oh, my God.
Not that there's...
Saying oh, my God for something else. I'm looking at Facebook right now.
Okay.
And my daughter, Olivia, took our dog for a walk and came home with two dogs.
Now, how did that... Sounds like my cat story.
Found a stray with no collar and no tags.
What kind of dog?
I don't know. What kind of dog is that?
Let me see. Oh, yeah, that's a wiener mix. You know what that is, Phil?
What is that?
That is a cute dog. You're in trouble.
I know.
You just picked up a family member.
I'm looking at it, and it's
like... Oh, yes, sir. Yeah,
no.
You're not getting rid of that dog.
He looks like he's going to do damage in my backyard.
Looks like he's about a year and a half, you know, right in that perfect age to he's probably trained somewhat.
What about our regular dog that we've had for 9 years that doesn't get along with other dogs? It just thinks it's a human and wants to hang out with humans.
That dog's going to have to learn to fit in with another dog.
I think depression is going to set in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's probably going to start losing its hair.
Separation anxiety?
Well, whatever it is, yeah. The opposite of separation anxiety, because probably this dog will get all the attention. Now, I hope... Now, she's posted a picture of it on Facebook.
Good.
So perhaps somebody in the neighborhood will recognize it and say, yeah, that's our dog. Keep it.
Well, don't forget to print out pictures of the puppy and post it, staple it to the telephone poles around the neighborhood.
Olivia's not going to try that hard, that she's already been smitten by those... doughy dog eyes looking at her and saying, feed me something. I'd like to stay here.
I can't blame your daughter because that is a cute-looking dog, Phil.
Holy crap.
Better get used to looking at it.
Yeah. Another small dog that you can't see in the back of a pickup truck.
It is. It's a small dog, probably a 10-pounder.
It's not a real dog if you can't see it in the back of a pickup truck, right? If it can't, if the head of the dog doesn't poke over the top of the side rail of a pickup truck, then it's not a real dog.
Then it's a lap dog or a purse dog.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, that's what you have. That's what you have a house full of now.
Bunch of yappers.
Bunch of yap dogs.
Jeez. Lap dogs or yap dogs? What did
Both.
You say?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Fine. Floyd Mayweather walks into a strip club with a rabbi and a priest. Now, how does it go? How's the joke go?
Yes. I think it ends with why the long face, but...
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather... does, in fact. You know, Floyd, his nickname is Money. Floyd Money Mayweather.
He's got a lot of it.
He's got the most of it when it comes to athletes, professional athletes around the world.
He's the richest athlete?
He's hands down the richest athlete. He's been paid a tremendous amount of money for a lot of his fights.
And he's got to pay people a lot of money to pretend they like him.
Yes, hang out with them, tell them what a great guy he is, tell them how much they love him.
Because he's a bit of a jerk, isn't he?
You know, I don't hang out.
You're
next
not going
to
bump
so
into him. Come
know.
On, tell the truth. You don't have to worry about Floyd Mayweather.
In all honesty, I've heard interviews with Floyd Mayweather. Seems like the kind of guy I could probably hang out with. I don't not get along with very many people. Using a double negative to explain that.
Right.
I get along with most people.
Well, I don't not neither.
See. Mm-hmm. Well, Floyd Mayweather does get along with a lot of people, mainly because he runs around with a lot of money. He was spotted on the town recently. He posted pictures of himself with $50,000 in cash going to nightclubs and allegedly strip clubs.
Yeah.
This is not long after revealing the fact that he just bought a new $3.5 million supercar.
But
I like this thing with like 50 Cent and Floyd Mayweather, all these rich guys.
Yeah.
They have this thing where they like to just pull a bunch of cash and then... carry it with them. Literally cash. Stacks of cash.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand. What does 50 grand get you at a strip club?
Anything and everything, Phil.
You could probably buy the club.
Yes.
For the night.
At least for the night.
You couldn't buy the whole business. It's got to be worth more than 50 grand. But, you know, I don't know the economics. If you walked into a strip club with $300-$500.
You're rolling deep. If you walk in with $500, you're rolling deep strip club standards.
You get a lot of attention from the ladies, right?
And if you had $3,000 or $4,000,
yes.
Oh my gosh, you may as well just clear the way. You get your own section of the club to yourself. Now 50 grand?
Yes.
Good Lord, I can't even imagine.
Did he just say, okay, now you work for me and you work for me? Come on, jump.
Pretty much.
Jump in the what'd he buy? A Bugatti?
Yeah, probably.
One of those?
Might be what the supercar is.
See how many of them he could cram into that little cockpit?
I think the whole place just turns into one giant champagne room.
Oh, yeah?
For you and all your friends.
You want your friends around? Oh, that's right. He's got that money to buy friends.
Exactly.
Look at how fun and cool I am. Mm-hmm. You're hanging out with me, and I bought all the ladies.
That's right. Carnegie teaches you how to win friends and influence people by using your personality. Mayweather, use cash.
Or if you don't like me, I'll beat the crap out of you.
Yeah. I don't know. He's not that big. I don't think he could really take many people on the street.
You know who else has gotten a lot of ladies over the years? You remember the stories about New York Yankees, third baseman, shortstop, Derek Jeter.
Shortstop.
He played third for a little bit, didn't he?
Well, there was a transition between him and Alex Rodriguez, but
yes.
Alex got thrown over to third base.
Yeah, and Derek was the shortstop.
That's right.
Yeah, you've heard the stories about him and his, he's a ladies' man. Right?
The stories are legendary.
Yes. He would have the one-nighters, and then the ladies would get a bonded messenger, would knock on the door at their apartment the next morning and deliver a Derek Jeter care package, which would be a gift basket with a couple of things in there, like a used towel from the locker room and a signed baseball.
And I think it also had some cash and flowers.
Some cash
like
and mm-hmm. flowers. Mm-hmm. But the signed baseball is the thing that got me. I threw in the used towel. I don't know about that, but... But just the same, legendary for that. But good things must come to an end.
Yeah.
And they apparently have for Derek Jeter, and you will not believe, well, yes, of course you will, who he plans to settle down with. That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, I guess my daughter put signs out for the dog.
So
yeah, I know. We'll find. We better find out who the owner is.
Well, that's the responsible thing to do. But you only give it a few days. If after a few days nobody comes forward,
you call the authorities.
You've just adopted a new family.
No,
member.
You call the
nope.
You call animal welfare.
No, because they take them to the puppy mills where they're just going to destroy the poor little fella.
The puppy mills is where they grow puppies.
Oh, yeah. Well, they take them to the puppy pound
where
they only give them a few weeks of life before they just throw them in the incinerator.
That's right.
So you're going to be having a new dog.
So who should we call? Should we call PETA?
No, you're going to be keeping the dog if nobody comes forward. You just got a new animal. Hear that, Olivia? I'm on your side.
Going to dress this dog up for Halloween.
Yep, put a tutu on it.
And say, okay, the candy's that way. See you later.
So long, dog.
Don't let it eat chocolate. That's bad for dogs.
Well, hopefully the people at the houses know that. They'll give them a Jolly Rancher instead.
Good, exactly.
Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
Or how about those
Jolly Ranchers are fine.
How about those pixie sticks? Are those okay, too?
Those are cool, too, but your dog will be bouncing off the walls.
New York Yankees legend Derek Jeter is engaged. His wife-to-be is a 52-year-old NASA propulsion engineer. I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah. You got me with that one.
I'm kidding.
All right, well,
it's 25-year-old Sports Illustrated swimsuit model Hannah Davis.
Hmm. Well, it's nice to know that he chose someone for who they are on the inside, Phil.
There's a picture of lovely Hannah on our show fun page. It's been there for some time. She's been the cover girl of Sports Illustrated Swimsuits model for the swimsuit edition for the last 2 years. She is practically naked on the most recent cover.
What a great quality
for
a person to have.
Hanny D, or what does she call herself? She's got an Instagram account where it's just photos of her and various degrees of modeling and clothing.
What'd you say that is? Hanny D?
Hanny something. I don't know.
Still writing. Okay.
There may be the picture of her on the show fun page may actually link to her Instagram, if I'm not sure. I think that's what the Web Munchkins did. They spent some time with the lovely Hanny.
Are we? Is this? This is because it is ironic, is it not? I mean, there really is no defending.
You know who
your
Hannah,
choice of a young.
You know who
model
Hannah
is?
Davis is. She's the Hannah and her horse gal on the TV commercials.
Hmm.
You know where she's on the beach with the horse and the horse talks, and I don't know what the product is. Who the heck knows? You're just looking at Hannah and her horse.
You know, I do think I know what you're talking about. The horse does speak.
Yes.
I think it's a Carl's Jr. commercial.
No, it's not Carl's Jr.
It's horse wants a burger.
It's something else. It's insurance, or I don't know what it is. It has nothing to do with, but you're distracted in the commercial. So maybe that's why they don't run them anymore.
Yeah.
But anyway, a New York Post reports that Derek proposed on Sunday for their third anniversary. Did you know they were dating?
No.
He even asked
3 years now.
He even asked her parents' permission.
That means they got together when she was 22. How old is he, by the way? Does it say that?
He's 41.
41.
Yeah. So he went to Hannah's parents and said, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Derek.
Yeah, I know, Derek. We went to school together.
Anyway, Jeter has previously made, well, aside from all the ladies that got the care packages that we talked about earlier, he's reportedly bedded down some famous actresses, including Jessica Biel, Jessica Alba. He's almost run the Jessicas.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordana Brewster, just to name a few. So they are the J's for Jeter. So had he kept any of them and proposed to them, they would have had the old JJ thing going on.
Which is cool, especially if your middle name's Jay.
Jessica Jeter, Jordana Jeter, right? Mm.
Well, I hope it lasts and they have a long, happy life together.
Yeah.
That's not too bad, by the way. I guess 41-25, that's 16 years in Hollywood.
You think Hannah calls Derek her horse?
Probably.
Hannah and her horse.
Who knows what kind of stuff they get down to behind closed doors.
All right, enough about that.
I don't judge.
I've been to a Buffalo Wild Wings before. Usually when I rant about restaurants, it's about TGI Fridays. The worst restaurant on the planet, okay, as far as the chains go, their food ain't bad. But apparently they train the TGIF. They don't train their employees. You will, trust me, if you have a half an hour that you need to sit down, turn around a meal, and get out because you have an important meeting or you need to catch a plane, do not go to a TGI Fridays. You will be there for 2 hours.
Right.
You'll be there for half an hour before somebody even comes over to your table and says hello. That is standard operating practice at TGIF. How do I know this? I continue like
battered wife?
A masochist?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the guy or is it the sadist? Who's the guy that likes punishment? I keep going back because they send these coupons, and because I like their food. And then every time I go, I have an awful experience because the service is so terrible.
Well, because the place is always packed also, isn't it? They do such a good job of drawing people in. That's one of the
now
reasons.
Now, I've only been to Buffalo Wild Wings once. I walked in the door and stood in the little lobby area where a couple of Buffalo Wild Wings employees were there. One was sitting down, just kind of looking in an opposite direction. The other was just kind of walking around, shuffling menus and daydreaming. We were in that lobby for about 5 minutes before I finally got up the gumption to say, excuse me, is there like a process here for getting a table? We'd like to sit down and have some food. I said, oh, you want a table?
Didn't even notice you were there.
Okay, for me.
Very attentive.
Over. Yeah. Done. Mm-hmm. Buffalo Wild Wings, dead to me. Now, are they all like that? Is every one of them like that? I don't know. But maybe it is when you hear about this management decision. Chris, tell us about it.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily a management decision, but Buffalo Wild Wings has come out with a very interesting statement where they are blaming the National Football League for slow third quarter earnings, which I find just blasphemous.
Maybe it's those people in the lobby who are to blame for slow earnings.
Yes, the ones that neglect to ask somebody how they're doing and let them know what their wait time is.
Yeah.
Buffalo Wild Wings reported only $455 million in sales this quarter.
How much?
$455 million.
That sucks.
It sure does, especially when you compare it to the $467 million that they had last year around this time.
Oh, so that's like $23 million less.
It's a certain amount of money less. It's actually only about $12 million less.
Oh.
But what they're saying is that because the NFL season started on September 10th this year instead of September 4th, that is what they are using to blame for the decline in sales and revenue. Matter of fact, they say that the calendar shows six less days of college and pro football this year compared to last.
If there were, if there weren't any football games, if football didn't exist, would anybody go to Buffalo Wild Wings?
That's what I'm saying. They probably wouldn't. If it weren't for football, they would not be the $500 million giant industry that they are. So they should really be bowing to football. Although I can understand what they're doing because everybody has stockholders to answer to, right? So these guys are answering to their stockholders and say, look, here's why. And by the way, they're saying the holiday season isn't going to help next quarter either because you're not exactly chowing down wings during Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas.
Yeah. All right.
There we go.
Fine. Well, the NFL is no slouch for crazy decisions, too.
No, they're not.
And I've got one coming up, which you may or may not know about this. Do you know who D'Angelo Williams is?
I do.
Yeah?
He's a running back.
Running back. He's a good player, huh?
Yes.
Should be able to make a statement every now and then.
Carolina Panthers, right?
Yeah.
Look how smart I am.
He's in big trouble.
Uh-oh.
He's been fined a whole boatload of money.
Oof.
You know what he did?
Must have done something real bad.
Real bad.
Guns.
It's awful.
Violence.
Oh, wait till you hear.
I can't imagine.
Coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, welcome back to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Chris is here. We've got ghost stories and ghost protection. And do ghosts actually exist? Coming up later in the program. And don't forget, it's National Cat Day. And I'm told in moments the photo of that dog that found its way somehow into my backyard, courtesy of my daughter, Olivia. The photo of that dog will appear on the Facebook page for Phil Hewlett and Friends so that you could see it. And save me from a two-dog life.
I think anybody that looks at that picture is going to promote you taking it in.
Is that what's going to happen?
It's a cute dog.
So maybe we shouldn't post the photo. Is that?
Nope, put it on there. Let's have a vote. I want to see a poll. Should Phil keep this dog?
Oh, gosh. The NFL is willing to raise awareness for breast cancer.
They are.
But only on their terms, which at this moment don't seem to make a whole lot of sense. D'Angelo Williams of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, okay.
Who do you think he was playing for?
I said Carolina Panthers, so there was a time when he did play there.
He plays for the Steelers. He was hit with an enormous fine for these guys. They make a lot of money, the running backs, right?
Aye.
What do you think he makes? $8, $9, $10 million a year?
No.
$4 million.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
$4 to $6 million.
That would be my guess.
Okay. He's got to fork out $5,757. For wearing eye black. You know what eye black is, right?
That's the black stuff that you put under your eyes to keep the sun out of it?
To keep the glare out of your eyes,
right?
For wearing eye black with a breast cancer ribbon on it, along with the words, "We'll find a cure."
Hmm.
You know, it would be one thing if the NFL was just anal about their uniform policies, but according to ESPN, he's been wearing that eye black for 5 years now. And this is his first fine for it during Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Right. Now, what is this? This has to go against the, they have some sort of clothing policy?
Well,
or
earlier,
what you can wear?
Yeah, earlier this month, D'Angelo asked the league if he could wear pink for the entire season, not just this month. His mother died from breast cancer last year. But the league said no. Okay, they have policies about that. Apparently, awareness should be kept to just October.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the NFL also fined Steelers cornerback, William Gay, yesterday for wearing purple cleats to show support for domestic violence awareness. His mother was shot and killed by his stepfather. William's fine is also $5,757. $5,757 is the fine. They both lost a family member. Another Steeler, Cam Hayward, was also recently fined for wearing iron and head under his eyes in support of his father, who died of cancer in 2006.
Well, it's hard to... I've heard these stories, and it's hard to stand on a side. Obviously, you stand on the side of the player, but the NFL is a very giant conglomerate that does have to have certain rules, because now we say, okay, breast cancer awareness, abuse, all of that, but what if somebody took it the other way and said, I'm going to wear this color because I want to promote my son's band, mm-hmm. or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Sort of that open the barn door and all the animals get out.
Right.
But... it's tough to hear about some of these other issues being swept away.
Remember last week, I think it was last week, we talked about the Superman. Is it Superman and Batman movie that's going to be coming out soon?
Yeah, Superman versus Batman.
Yeah, yeah. What if they had a Darth Vader versus Superman?
I'd be first in line. Well, not first in line, because those guys are nuts.
Yeah, they'll be in a pup tent for a month, right?
Yes, I'll be third day.
You know who David Prowse is?
No, never heard of him.
He's the guy who played Darth Vader. Not the voice, but the guy inside the suit. He played Darth Vader in the original Star Wars trilogy.
So you're saying that wasn't James Earl Jones inside there?
It should have been.
Surprising.
Right? Should have been.
Oh.
Poor David Prowse. Prowse was a weightlifting champion who helped Christopher Reeve bulk up for Superman. Hmm. So I guess we could say Darth Vader was Superman's personal trainer.
Oh, see, that would make a great versus superhero movie. Darth Vader versus Superman.
Yeah, because they could have a falling out.
And those guys actually might be similar in their abilities. You know what I mean? I mean, the dark side, the dark force that Darth Vader has is pretty powerful.
Yeah, and with that, what are those things? The cinnamon stick? What is it called? The thing that they swing around?
Yeah, the lightsabers.
Lightsaber.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Superman is as fast as a bullet, so could he go all Matrix on that lightsaber and not get hit by it?
He would. Who knows how he would react to it? Maybe he would try to shoot it with his laser vision. The point is that that is a much more evenly matched combat as opposed to Superman and Batman, where I really don't see how Batman stands a chance in that fight.
Well, in reality, Batman did kill Superman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, in the comic books.
Yeah, reality.
Yeah.
Come on.
In comic book reality.
In reality, Superman would just fly over at the speed of a bullet, pick him up, take him all the way up to the outer layers of the atmosphere, and drop him back to the Earth.
Yeah, right.
And but, it would be over that quickly.
Batman's got something in his utility belt that would break his fall.
Oh, yeah?
Or he'd be able to call over his bat
jet. Yeah, that's
jet,
a good point. He was pretty ingenuitive.
Yeah. Ingenuitive?
Yeah.
Let's Google that word real quick.
Is that a word? Ingenuitive?
I'm pretty sure it's not.
Are you sure? I'm going to Google it.
I'm writing it down right now because that's the word of the month.
Yeah. Ingenuitive. That's a word. I'm telling you.
Wait, did you find it?
Mike's back there laughing.
Ingenuitive.
You're going to have to pick something else to talk about.
No,
while I look
I'm going to Google it while you're Googling it.
All right. Hang on. I'll tell you about something.
Ingenuitive. Is there an E in there?
How long do we have? We have plenty of time. Ingenuitive.
Okay, it's in...
No, it's and it's an I. I-N-G... I-N-I... Oh, no. U-I-T-I-V-E.
Okay. Ingenuitive. It's a word.
Yes, and...
But it stands for... hang on a second. It doesn't have... It doesn't have a definition because it's not a real word.
No, the definition is somebody who is... an ingenuit. Ingenuit.
It's in the Urban Dictionary.
Okay. Go ahead.
Wait, hold on. Let's say here's Merriam-Webster. That's a legitimate dictionary, right?
Sure. Ingenuitive.
And under ingenuitive, they have they don't have ingenuitive. They have other words that don't even sound like ingenuitive.
Hmm.
It's in the Urban Dictionary. It's in the Wikidary, whatever that is.
It should be.
It's in the
Webster.
It's in the.
What does it say? What does it say under the Urban Dictionary? Give me the definition under the Urban Dictionary.
Possessing or stemming from ingenuity.
See,
but see, that's like street language where you're just making stuff up.
I'm a street kid. I'm an urchin. I'm a street urchin.
Yeah,
and that's where I come from. Yeah, I'm south side of the tracks, dude. You don't know who you brought into this studio.
South side, the bad side of the tracks.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
We try to do background checks on our people.
We use street language.
Yeah. All right. Okay. You ready?
Sounds like a correct word.
You ready for this?
Yeah. Give me something.
Hey, do you believe in ghosts?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, later in the program, we're going to focus on how regular people like us see ghosts, too. But coming up next, if you're one of those people who has regular bouts with the negative entities of the spirit world. We will offer you a little protection. Somebody who knows where the ghosts live and can make their life a living hell joins us next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. It's Halloween week, and there are ghosts and goblins skulking about schools, offices, shopping malls. And I'm pretty certain that most of them are just people in bad costumes. But for some of you, actual ghosts make your life a living hell at times, and we want to help you. We really do. Joining us live is a professional clairvoyant medium, Lisa Kaza. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, even better now that you're here.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
Yes, well, now you're a clairvoyant. What exactly is that, and is it different from calling yourself a psychic?
Yes, completely different. I actually don't even like the term psychic because it's such a generalized term, and when people hear psychic, well, automatically they go to mediumship. They think that every psychic can talk to spirits, and that's not the case. So for myself, I'm a clairvoyant, clairaudient, and clairsentient, which means basically clear seeing, clear hearing, and clear feeling.
And the hearing and the feeling and the seeing that you experience is what, people from the other side?
It can be, but generally the way that it works, well, firstly, I'm only in, I call myself an occasional medium. I only do it once in a blue moon. But when I do it, it's actually through messages through my spirit guides, as I call them. They act like translators. So I don't see the actual spirits themselves, but I get relayed on messages from those spirits via the spirit guides.
And when people come to visit you, are they, in essence, the gateway or the vessel that allows you to connect to these spirits?
Oh, definitely, for sure, because that's one way I will do mediumship readings, is I do have to be mainly in person, or, you know, in the case of paranormal investigation, well, I'd have to be at the premises.
Yeah.
So for sure. And it all really, it boils down to energy and their energetic vibrations.
Can that energy, those vibrations, can they transmit over phone lines?
Oh, for sure. And as a matter of fact, that's how I do the majority of my readings, either over the phone, or what a lot of people can't get over is I actually do a lot of email readings, all through email.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. And you'll get vibrations from that. Now, at this moment, as we speak, are you sensing anything distressing that is emanating from this studio where I and the good-looking Chris Martin are sitting right now?
Absolutely not.
No.
No, not at all.
Nothing distressing?
No, I don't feel anything too distressing other than the fact that you guys trying to scramble, trying to make sure that you have all your recordings on time.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's a regular thing for us.
Oh, for sure. I'm sure it is for every studio, whether it's radio or TV.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, stressful times, no, that's about the most that I pick up. For the most part, I actually pick up a lot of harmony and happiness and fun within the group as a whole.
Wow. How about that?
That must be the part that Mike plays in this.
Yes, he's our executive producer, and he provides a great deal of harmony for us. Now, I'm interested that you said that, because it almost sounds to me like what Chris said earlier in the program before you got here, Lisa, is that, yes, indeed, our family is probably going to keep this stray dog that my daughter found today, and there will be harmony in the family, because I'm a little concerned about that. But that's another story. Let's find out more about ghosts. Tell us about ghosts. Are they real? It sounds to me like you believe they are. Do they visit? Do they mean us any harm? Give us a ghost primer from your perspective.
Well, firstly, yes, they are real. Just because a lot of us can't see them doesn't mean that they're not there. In fact, we're surrounded by spirits the majority of the time, even as we're walking down the street. I bet you we probably pass maybe 10 of them.
Really?
In a matter of 5 minutes.
Okay.
So they're always there. But in my experience, now this is just my experience, I'm not talking for every medium or psychic or out there, but in my experience, I have not actually come across too many quote-unquote evil or benevolent spirits. For the most part, a lot of them just want recognition. They want, I'll put it this way, when a person passes over, they don't change. So they're just like we are. They're just in spirit form. So they do have emotions and they do have desires.
Yeah.
And for the most part, they just want to be acknowledged.
So how do they manifest themselves to you or others who tell you that they've seen them?
Well, for me personally, I like I said a few minutes ago, I can't actually visually see them. That's actually extremely rare. So if you and your listeners go to a psychic that says, yes, I can see full body apparitions. No, it's a very rare ability to have. For the most part, you feel them. Like it's like an energized feeling. The hair will stand on the back of your neck and your arms.
Yeah.
And it's just a feeling that you're, you know, being watched or that you're not alone. Very uneasy feeling. That's
sure.
What I get initially.
All right. Now let me throw some stories at you, because these are all stories from my family and various members of my family. And I'll start with my wife when she was a little girl.
Okay.
Don't know how old she was. I want to say maybe five or six. And little kids see things all the time. But
that's right.
But perhaps they're more open to seeing things that we adults have closed ourselves off to. She's in the middle of the night, gets up. She's in her nightgown, if I have the story correct, walks down the hall, and there's a great big white horse standing in the hallway in their suburban home. And she remembers that story to this day and tells it from time to time, and it's a freaky story. Now, my daughters have recounted stories about waking up and seeing people standing at the foot of their bed. And I can tell you, it was not me, it was not my wife, it was not any of my other daughters, and nobody else lives in the house. But on several occasions, they've said they've seen this. Now, we decided to take extreme measures. We tore down the house and rebuilt it.
On the same property? Because it could be the whole, like, Indian burial ground.
But my
thing.
Wife had this little deal. Well, she sat down in the house before we moved into it and said, okay, we're going to move in now. And she wanted to have a little conversation with the with whoever these spirits are. And she's sitting in we're not completely moved in. There's boxes everywhere, boxes of, this and that. And she's sitting on the floor and she just has a conversation. Okay, this is our house. It's not your house. We don't have a beef with you. It's time for you to go, because we built this for us and we're going to live here. And we appreciate it if you leave. Could you just give us some kind of a sign that you're going to leave? And within a moment, a box that's on the counter full of glassware that was nicely packed and had no reason to shift under any duress. All of a sudden, one of the pieces of glassware in there shifted off of whatever it was standing on and fell to the bottom of the box. The moment after she said, give me some kind of a sign. And ever since then, I can tell you there have been no reports from any of my daughters that anything wacky's gone on in the house, and it's been about a year.
And you've been converted into a believer.
Well, I've not seen anything myself, I'll be honest. But
you were there when the
glass
fell.
No, it was told to me. When I hear that from people I love and trust, that it seems like, okay, fine, what Lisa Kaza is telling us on the phone right now, that we walk past the spirits all the time, I've got to believe that fine, okay, I'm with it. How does any of that sound to you, Lisa?
Well, firstly, that's an amazing story. I have two things here. I got when you're telling me about your wife's story with the horse, that was definitely connected to the land that it was around, and it just didn't want to leave. This plain and simple, that's what that was. But that's awesome, because initially, when you talked about the box falling on the floor, at first I thought, oh my goodness, it was an act of defiance. But then again, the thing is, when spirits try to manifest themselves, well, they are limited. It actually takes an extreme amount of energy for them to even possibly try to turn a light switch on.
Can you offer or what can you offer, let's put it that way, in way of protection for people from ghosts who want perhaps ill things to happen to us?
Okay. Well, first, I'm going to state the most obvious. First, don't go looking for them.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I have to say that, because this time of year, you know, Halloween coming up in a couple days, there's a lot of paranormal investigative tours that are being hosted all over the country.
People looking for trouble.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like sex. If you don't want to have some kind of disease, don't put yourself in the position to do it. It's kind of along the same line.
Well, I didn't know we were going there, but okay, fine.
Yeah. Well, just to put it into perspective.
Okay, fine.
But yeah.
Just not this perspective I was expecting, but go ahead.
I'm sure you were. But if you know, if there are cases where, like, you know, the hauntings in your own home, or where you just can't help it, they come to you, or if you just can't ignore that urge to go on one of these tours, well, the most effective method to protect oneself would be to smudge your entire body with burning sage.
Hmm. Should you wait for the fire to die out before you do that?
Oh, it actually smolders on its own. It doesn't just catch fire and go into a blaze. That doesn't happen.
All right.
It's just a smoke.
Sure, I got you. So it burns like an oregano cigarette.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And you just smudge yourself with that smoke.
Yeah. And should you put out some garlic or anything like that?
Okay, no. Now we're getting into vampires, and I just don't do that.
Okay, fine. Good to know. But you know what? We're out of time, and what I want to do is send people to your website, because it's been delightful speaking with you, and I can't help but believe that all of this that you're saying is true because of my personal experience, well, at least my family's. LisaCaza.com is the website, and Caza is spelled with a Z, C-A-Z-A. LisaCaza.com. Lisa Caza, thank you so much for being on the program, and enjoy Halloween. Business must be good.
Oh, it's definitely keeping me on my toes. But thank you so much for having me on. It was a true pleasure and honor.
Okay, thank you. An honor. Ooh, look at that. Okay, hey, that's it for the first hour of the program. So much more to come, including the most egregious insult ever to the Australian people. Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, the top Halloween candies. See if you agree. Another example of why you should never direct the beam of a laser pointer at an airplane. More ghosts this hour and how regular people see them all the time. If you are Australian, we apologize in advance. And today is National Cat Day. That's why there's a stray dog in my backyard.
That explains it.
And no, it doesn't. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. Chris Martin is here. And so are you. We sure appreciate that. Let's get things started this hour. The top candies, huh, for Halloween?
You have to do it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
This is the show before Halloween. When is Halloween?
It is Saturday night. Today is Thursday in real time, so it's a big adult party when the Halloween is on a Saturday.
It's a kids' party, too.
And here in Southern California, it's going to be 90 degrees on Halloween.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just been cooling off lately. What
so the fact that it's more of an adult thing on Saturdays, does that mean that my doorbell's going to ring and there will be scantily clad grown ladies at my door?
It's doubtful.
Yeah, I know.
Doubtful.
They're not coming for candy if they ring the doorbell, that's for sure.
Everyone calls it Halloween. You know what I call it?
What?
Free candy day.
Yes. Exactly.
That's really what it is. Let's be real.
Well, ladies, come on. I've got this stray dog in the backyard.
That works.
Now who's ringing the doorbell?
70% of the time. That works every time.
Does it? Yeah.
You want to know America's top five favorite candies?
What?
I happen to have the list right here.
Who put the list together?
I did.
Oh, you did?
No. This is from AOL, actually.
Oh, okay. That they still have that?
You believe that they still exist?
Yeah.
They certainly do.
All right.
Although I find this list to be very valid. See if you concur as well.
All right.
Number five on the list, the Kit Kat bar.
Kit Kat. That's crunchy, chocolatey.
Uh-huh. It has all the essential ingredients.
All right.
You remember the song? Give me a break. Give me a break.
Yeah, because you can break those slender sticks of chocolatey goodness into pieces. They're broken into what, three or four? They come in a...
Four, if you get the big ones. But this is Halloween, so you're probably only going to get the two stick.
The double stick.
Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. Number four, chocolate bars, which is sort of a... I guess bland name to mention chocolate bars, but chocolate is our favorite, isn't
like
it?
Like a Hershey's Crunch or Nestle's Crunch?
Chocolate bars. I mean, they're just calling it chocolate bars.
Okay,
so, yeah,
fine.
I'm going to say Hershey's probably at the
chocolate.
Top of that.
Chocolate.
Number three, M&M's. More chocolate. You notice a trend going here?
Not the peanut M&M's, because the kids might have a peanut allergy.
Which there are more and more kids that have that allergy. If it were me, it'd be peanut M&M's. Number two, Snickers bars.
Oh, I'm all over Snickers. That's me.
Here we are.
That's my number one.
First of all, not a flaw on the list yet, right? I mean, these are all...
Oh, I agree.
Those are four of the greatest candies.
But what's telling is what's not on the list.
Well, we're about to find out, because number one, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Reese's, and that's your choice, isn't it?
It's up there. It's up there. It's hard for me to decide whether I would choose Reese's over Snickers or Reese's over
Kit Kat. The cups, not the pieces, right?
All those are so good.
The Reese's cups, not the Reese's pieces.
They're both good, yeah, but the cups are better because they're a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pieces are like M&Ms.
You know, and you want to, you know, you don't want them to get all melty, because when you pull them out of that that cupcake paper that they put them in,
right,
it gets all under your fingernails.
And then you have to lick the paper.
Yeah.
It gets in your fingernails, gets around your face.
I like putting them in the fridge and bringing them out cold. Do you like them cold?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I don't eat a lot of candy, but when I do, this is the top of the list.
This is the time of year when you should just binge. And parents, don't worry about it. Your kids will get over it. The fact that they're going to binge on candy for the next 5 or 6 days, does that mean that you're going to have to continue giving them that much candy
for the rest of the year? 5 or 6 days, Phil? Yeah, that's 5 or 6 months. You put that pillowcase up in the closet and it ends up,
kidding me?
You've got to go back to it and back to it.
Kids are not as efficient and aggressive about gathering candy on Halloween as they were when we were kids. We used to get on our bikes and ride for about 6 hours to neighborhoods we'd never been before. And if we got to a neighborhood that had fewer than 50 doors, it wasn't worth stopping at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a business venture.
Yes. And sometimes we'd have to come back and unload the pillowcase and go head back out again.
Go back out, because you definitely wanted to catch the last run, because that's when everybody would just empty their...
Sure.
Whatever was holding their candy.
Right.
By the way, Yahoo did have a list of the five worst candies issued. I'm only going to give you number five, which was fruit. What a disappointment if you're out on Halloween and somebody drops an apple in your bag. Number one on the worst candies issued on Halloween was licorice.
Licorice? I like licorice. Are malt balls on the list?
If they were, they would probably be somewhere in that top 10, top 15
range. Of good or bad?
Of good, right?
No, they're bad.
You don't like those?
I don't like malt balls.
Whoppers?
No, not a fan of the malt balls.
Oh, they're great, man.
They leave a taste in your mouth.
Yeah. That's the point.
Is it a good taste?
Yeah, I don't mind it. It's the taste that makes you want to eat another one.
Not a fan of it. Okay. Now, the pixie sticks weren't on here, were they?
No, again, probably would be in the top 10, top
I just
15.
Get myself a two-liter bottle of Coke and drink a little of it, and then pour five or six Pixie Sticks into the Coke, close the top, shake it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And wait for it to explode.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to drink that.
No.
Okay.
No, just wait for it to explode.
All right. Because that would have sent your heart into cardiac
arrest. You can make a rocket out of those with the Coca-Cola and the Pixie Sticks.
You can.
Yeah.
There's something else. There's a different candy you can drop in the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember offhand.
Smarties?
It might be.
Yeah.
Smarties.
Make sure. That's powerful stuff right there. Yeah. Okay. So we apologized in advance to the Australian nation. Everybody who has roots in Australia and who lives here now, we hear you coming, by the way. We do. We hear you coming because you have this peculiar way of speaking, but it probably doesn't sound peculiar to you. Perhaps I sound peculiar to you, but that's just what accents are all about. They're peculiar. We're not accustomed to them, and if for the Australian people, you're fine people, and I love you, but you do talk funny.
Mm, yeah, and it's always hard for me to imagine anybody from another country thinking we talk funny because, well, for me, I use words like ingenuitive. It's pretty understandable. But it seems to me that we do speak what you would be considered the Queen's English.
Yeah.
But an Australian communication expert says that the lazy Australian accent is a result of a drunken slur caused by heavy drinking of early settlers. What do you think of that?
At first, he called it a lazy accent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lazy accent that is a result of a drunken slur. He says Australians speak with two-thirds capacity and only use one-third of their articulator muscles. And he says the proof is in the pudding. There you see these words all that you hear this in Australian words all the time. There's a lot of missing T's, like the word important would be pronounced important,
yeah,
with a D in there.
Right.
Missing L's, Australia.
Australia.
Mm-hmm. And many vowels are lazily transformed into other vowels. Like instead of standing, they say standing. Instead of whales, they say whiles. Instead of night, they say night.
Night.
Night. Aussie communication expert Dean Frankel's calling for schools to teach kids verbal expression and delivery. Says we need to get rid of this. We've been passing it down for generation after generation, and it really was just a result of our forefathers regularly got drunk together. They were unknowingly adding an alcoholic slur to our national speech there, and we kept teaching it to the little buggers.
You could get a gig in one of those Outback Steakhouse commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's not a real Australian guy.
And they could just pay me in steak.
It's a guy. It's just a guy pretending to be Australian.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the true red-blooded Australians are saying that this report is bogus.
Yeah. Now, here on the program, we're...
Including Wolverine himself, by the way.
we're nothing if not helpful to you. We're always looking for ways to help you. And coming up next on the program, I have the top 10 red flags that you are lying to your place of work about being sick. Now, isn't that helpful? That's helpful stuff right there. So you need to know, before you concoct your phone call that you're about to make, and you know, you get that sick voice on. You want to try to sound sick, right? Yeah. Not feeling well. You know, when I call in sick, I just use my regular voice. Hey, I can't make it to work today. What's the matter? Not feeling well. Oh, so I hope you feel better, Phil. Yeah, me too, because it sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. See you later.
Yeah, but your work trusts you.
Yeah.
Also, yeah,
I guess
there's that.
I guess they do. But I have the top 10 red flags that you're lying to work about being sick. And so this should be helpful to you. And it's coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, we're back here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Did you know that Mrs., you know, MRS, period, Mrs., was originally the abbreviation for mistress, not Mrs., which is why it has an R in it. Did you know that?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Especially because Mrs. denotes somebody that's taken, and mistress would be somebody that is not married.
Where I think maybe this fact was the reason Ms. was birthed.
The MS.
MS, yeah.
Right.
Ms.
Ms.
Because it didn't imply being kept one way or another.
Yes.
By a man.
And that's Ms. is what one of the things you look for as a single guy.
Yeah.
To make sure that you're green light.
A liquor store employee in Florida called in sick back in April. But it turns out the real reason he was in the hospital is because he got shot while he was robbing one of the store's other locations. The police eventually figured it out, and he was arrested. Now he's in court facing 10 years to life in prison.
I thought you were going to say hangover after we found out he was a liquor store. Employee.
So it's that time of the year when you realize you've got a bunch of sick days that you've never used, and you better start coming up with ways to use it. And maybe you could fake the flu and get a few days off, right?
Sure.
Well, if you do, remember this. Your coworkers are totally on to you. A new survey found that 57% of Americans have taken a fake sick day and only 8% of them have gotten caught, which certainly makes most people overconfident. But 80% of people say they sometimes suspect their coworkers are lying when they take fake sick days. 7% have actually hunted for evidence that the person was lying, usually on social media.
Hmm.
So you have to be careful, right?
Yeah,
even if it's like a week or two later, you post that photos of your fishing trip.
Right, yes.
You know, when did you have time to go on a fishing trip? Well, remember that time it was a week, but you were sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by the way, I checked that boat charter. You left on the day you were sick.
You did that, too?
It's kind of creepy.
You checked
when
the boat
charter. When you say somebody looks into the evidence.
Now, here's why they get suspicious. A survey found the top 10 red flags you're lying about being sick. So listen and learn. Top 10. We'll start with 10. You lose track of the lie and start compounding it with more lies.
Mm-hmm.
When you come back to work, you talk about activities you did on your sick day.
Accidentally?
You're just a dumbass if you do that. You started preparing your coworkers the day before. Now, people do that a lot. They start acting sick, and demonstratively so. Make sure that they cough or they moan or they groan or they do something that looks sickly right next to your desk.
Yeah. I'll actually just vomit in the corner.
That's a good work. Yeah. A good thing to do, yeah. People can't complain or have anything to say about vomit. The sick day coincides with an event or occasion you've been talking about.
Right.
Yeah, right. You had a weak excuse. That's
yes.
Number six.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, you always seem to be calling in sick.
Mm-hmm. You okay?
You're otherwise healthy.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with your immune system,
Yeah,
man?
Right. Yeah.
Somebody needs to take some vitamin C.
Number four, you called in sick the day after a holiday.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not unusual to have way too much fun on a holiday weekend, and you do get sick.
Mm-hmm.
You're out late. Your immunity is low. You poured all sorts of alcohol in your body, and you ate a lot of bean dip. That'll make you sick.
It sure will.
Yeah. Number three, you didn't sound sick on the phone. Well, what does sick sound like? Do you have to necessarily have a stuffy nose?
Yeah.
Or in a sore throat? What if you're sick out of another orifice?
Yeah, like your stomach hurts or you have a pounding headache.
Yeah.
There's different ways of being sick or
you
not feeling
well. You drop a heavy object on your toe.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't drive.
Can't hear that in the voice.
Well, you're going to need a doctor's note for the thing, the heavy object on the toe. You seemed fine the day before.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see any symptoms.
And the number one reason, it's a Friday or a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Just trying to milk out that three-day weekend.
Yeah, and here's what people typically say. And I keep it simple when I call. But here's I just don't feel well. That's one thing people say. I got stomach issues.
Mm-hmm.
I got a migraine.
Right.
Didn't know you get migraines. You got a sore throat. I got a sore throat. And number five, there's an issue with my house or my apartment.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, all of those very valid.
Plausible.
I agree with you also if you mentioned I have a stomach issue.
Yeah.
You people will usually let that go.
Yeah, because they don't want that around the office anyway.
And they don't want it around the office. And really, if you continue to ask questions, you're probably going to get answers that you're not going to want to hear.
Right. Yeah, and you could come up with some colorful
stories.
Well,
what do you mean, stomach issue?
Yeah, now, if you were to choose sore throat over diarrhea, which would you choose?
Well, that's tough. I'd probably take...
I mean, the real diarrhea, you know?
Like that one's tough.
Like, you're running.
That's a good question.
And almost not
the
making
sore throat. I look at the positive side. I'm going to give you the positive side of both. Positive side of the sore throat is, yeah, I feel like it might deepen my vocals a little bit, which, uh-huh, it, being in radio, I like that. Positive side of the diarrhea, you clean yourself out. You clean your system out. It's like it's like having a colon cleanser without having to take that nasty powder.
Yeah. They have that?
They do, yeah. They
have you done that?
I have.
Have you?
Sure.
And how'd that go?
It does what you think it'll do.
Yeah.
It'll clear you out. Yeah.
Right.
Basically takes everything, puts a bunch of probiotics in your system, sort of liquidates it, sends it through your bowels.
Did you feel light on your feet afterwards?
Yeah, you feel good. You feel good. You feel cleaned out. And then especially when you follow it up with like some good vegetables, you know, then you ease your way back in with some good food, some light quantities, uh-huh, of good whole foods.
How about some corn?
Next thing you know, you're rolling for a week, and then you go out that weekend, you have a few beers, and you eat two large pizzas to yourself, and you throw the whole thing out of whack again. And
just don't forget, you always have to have corn.
Absolutely.
Or peanuts.
Yeah. How else are you going to know? How else are you going to know?
Because for whatever reason, those things don't digest, do they?
They hang.
Yeah.
A matter of fact, sometimes it seems like they actually go through a little corn polishing center, yeah, down in there.
Right. And then
where it recleans them, puts, uh-huh, them all back together real nicely.
And then you check your business and hello, there's the corn.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow it makes its way all the way through the system without getting dissolved.
Remarkable.
Like,
yeah. It really is remarkable. Although corn, you know, does not really have any nutritional value.
Why don't we make more things out of corn? It seems indestructible.
Good question. I think we make a lot of stuff out of corn. We make syrup.
Yes, but no, what I mean is like buildings or bulletproof vests.
Yeah.
Maybe corn is as impenetrable as Teflon.
I think
or
we
Kevlar.
Would have figured that out by now. But I'm a big fan of corn. I agree with you. You can pop it.
Yeah.
You can cook it. It's great roughage. Keeps, mm-hmm, you regular. Binds you together.
And there are at least a couple of punchlines that involve corn.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
You know.
All right. You know, is America's First Family the Kanye West and Kim Kardashian and their kids?
For some people, it is.
Yeah?
Yes. For some people, it is.
Yeah.
Actually, for a large group of people,
people
it is.
Just follow what they're doing.
They do, and they love to do it.
Now, that kid, he's very stylish. Their son, Northwest. Is
it's
that
a
his
she.
Name? That's a daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Stylish daughter?
Yes.
I thought Northwest was a son.
I'm pretty sure it's a female.
Will you double-check that?
No, I'm positive it is. Go ahead. Mike Stark, you jump into it. Because
I've seen photos of Northwest and could swear that the child was wearing...
I'm going to tell you right now.
Natalie attired in boyish clothing.
No.
Now, in this day
Kim
and age,
Kardashian is pregnant with another child that is a male.
Yes.
But Northwest...
is a...
female.
Wait, are you reading that or just surmising from your
own
recollection?
I'm surmising it because I had to do the research for this very brief
or you're just using
Kardashian
your
West story.
Or are you just using
do.
Your ingenuitivity?
So hang in there. Yeah. Yeah, I use my ingenuity, ingenuitively. Thank you very much.
Have you found the
answer yet?
The famous
daughter of Kim Kardashian and Kanye West had a diva moment on their way to ballet class on Wednesday. So what do you think about that?
I don't know what to
Surrounded
think
about by it. A group of photographers as she held onto the hand of her mother.
Her mother.
That's correct.
Okay.
She was wearing a tutu and custom Balmain khaki jacket.
Wow.
She looked at the photographers and said, "I said no pictures."
Northwest said that?
That's right. The little two-year-old said that. Despite her plea for them to stop taking photographs, the paparazzi can be heard laughing and continuing to snap away. So this was all caught on video.
Yeah.
I am correct. Northwest is a female. She's about to have a brother.
Yeah. All right. And next we're going to hear young North say the words, "Now you owe me $1 million for that photo."
Yeah. I don't know how that whole thing's going to turn out, but... I wish him the best.
What, when Northwest becomes a grown lady, how that's going to turn out? Is that what you mean?
Well, the one thing is she's definitely going to be indoctrinated into the system, the Kardashian West system. She's going to be familiar with people constantly taking pictures of her, constantly asking her questions.
Yeah, yeah.
That type of thing.
It's you want to get back to the Halloween stories?
Might mess her up a little bit. That, to me, sounds like a scary story growing up in that environment. But yes, please.
Yeah, all right. Back to the Halloween stories. Now, I'm not. I don't know that this store I can't understand how this store did not realize that Americans are cool with blood and gore and violence. But as soon as you bring sex into the equation, everybody freaks out and wonders why no one's thinking of the children.
It's a really good point, Phil.
A condom store in Pennsylvania put up a Halloween display with two skeletons humping and a sign that said, quote, use condoms or you'll end up dead. In fact, it used the expletive in between the word up and dead.
The F word?
That's right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people were outraged. So they changed it last week, but eventually went back to their original version.
Which is what, without the F word?
No, with the humping skeletons once again.
Good. Freedom of speech.
All right, we're talking more ghosts on the program. We'll talk about it with a woman who has written a stack of books about ghosts that she's seen, that other people have seen. She's known as the Psychic Bystander. And she's quite a prolific author as well, and a journalist. A legitimate lady.
Wow.
Knows her science, too. Joins us next, right here, on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, Halloween's coming up in a couple of days. And there's no doubt about it that the paranormal fascinates people, especially this time of year. It does me. After all, what do we really know? We want our understanding to conform to expected norms, and we worry about speaking too loudly about things we don't understand for fear we might be called a lunatic. I've been called a lunatic before.
Well, that's probably for good reason.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from, but we're here for you if you feel what I'm talking about. Because the truth is, regular people see ghosts.
Yeah.
I think we established that in the first hour. Joining us now is an award-winning science writer and journalist. Her new book, among many, is entitled Sightseeing in the Undiscovered Country, Louisa Oakley Green. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, even better now that you're here. The Undiscovered Country, where's that?
That is a term that Shakespeare coined, and it means death.
Oh, the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so sightseeing amongst the dead people. Is that what we're talking about today?
Pretty much so. Sightseeing in that mysterious other side that we don't seem to know much about from here.
And so that falls under the umbrella paranormal, correct?
It does.
Now, when did you start taking an interest in that?
I started taking an interest in it over 20 years ago. I didn't actually believe in anything paranormal at the time. I was kind of raised in an environment where we thought that that was superstition. And I met this wonderful man and fell in love, and we got married, and he turned out to be a very talented psychic, and he came from a family of them.
Did he bring with him some spiritual baggage?
Baggage?
I mean, were there some hangers-on?
You mean spiritual hitchhikers or spirit hitchhikers?
Yes, exactly.
Not at the time, no. We've certainly seen them throughout the years.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so tell me what you say, when you say see them. So these.
Well, I don't because I'm not psychic, but he does.
So premonitions, is that what you would call that?
Premonitions is certainly one type. Also, there are some people who actually can see dead people. So that's another type.
Oh, like the Haley Joel Osment thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question about that.
Yeah, Chris.
Because we were talking in the first segment, too. Someone was actually giving us some advice about how to ward away what you might consider evil spirits. And we were talking about ghosts and how she would see ghosts. She said that they were a lot like us. In other words, when you leave the body, you're just sort of still hanging out on Earth. My understanding is that maybe some spirits hang out here on the planet after they die, but don't most of them go to another place, like what people would consider heaven or something?
Well, they go to what I've heard described as the light.
The light, yeah, there you go.
Occasionally they hang out here. In fact, there was a researcher, Debbie Chestnut. She was a paranormal researcher, and she spent 25 years investigating house hauntings, and she came up with what she felt were the five main reasons that ghosts hang around, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Unfinished business, right?
Well, yes. These are actually the five types of ghosts that you'll find in a house. And certainly unfinished business is definitely part of it. But the first type she called the home sweet home ghost. and that's previous owners of a house. And they don't leave either because, again, unfinished business can be part of it, or they may not know they're dead, which happens a lot, or they may just like their home. And they are the type of ghosts where you hear footsteps and doors opening and closing and water left running and channels changing on the television. And that's because they're just going through their daily routine because half the time they don't realize they're dead.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you had, Phil.
Is it?
Yeah. I think so.
That's what I had.
Yeah.
All right.
They usually interact with you and they have a quite distinct personality, but more often than not, they're benign. They're not there to
yeah. Play. I mean, it'd be nice if you're bored and you could play cards with somebody, but that's not going to happen. But now, a moment ago, you mentioned a paranormal researcher, and you have a scientific background to a degree. And so outside of paranormal circles or fans of paranormal activity, is paranormal researcher an accepted field of science?
Well, it's kind of funny. There's millions of dollars research, funneled into research for paranormal. Universities, the U.S. military, other groups, and they don't call it paranormal research because if they did, they wouldn't get their research dollars. They call it consciousness studies.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of like the accepted science term for paranormal studies.
It's very new age.
All right, so we can then say that they're out there looking for scientific evidence that proves ghosts exist, and would you say there's enough evidence out there?
There's certainly a lot of evidence, and it's kind of interesting because there are so many groups that are doing this research. One group that has done research for years is the University of Virginia. They have a perceptual studies department. And one of the interesting things that they came up with was they are theorizing that consciousness actually resides outside of the brain. The brain is nothing more than a transmitter, like a cell phone would be a transmitter for someone's voice.
Mm-hmm.
But they had several lines of evidence as to why they felt that way. The first one was deathbed lucidity, and that's been reported in medical journals for over 250 years. And that's when, in the hours before death, patients who had little or no mental functioning due to trauma or tumors or dementia suddenly show a return to mental clarity in the hours before death.
Hmm.
And there was one study done in the United Kingdom where 70% of patients with dementia became completely lucid in the hours before death. And what the researchers suggested from that is that while a brain is damaged, a person may have problems thinking, but as that brain dies, consciousness may not be tethered to expressing itself through that brain.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
I think so.
And another line of evidence that consciousness may be outside of the brain is that they found high intelligence in people with very little brain tissue. For example, there was one woman who was an honor student, and she was in an automobile accident, so they did a routine brain scan. And what they found was that she had no brain at all, only a brain stem. Now, according to modern medicine, someone with only a brain stem should not be able to form any thought at all. But they have found many people, actually, over the years, who have no brain but can think, perfectly well.
That is, I have a brain, and I can't understand how that works.
It gives me hope because I have very little brain tissue.
That's good to know.
And I think if I expand my consciousness, I might still be able to function.
I want to go back, and again, we're speaking with Louisa Oakley Green. She is the author of the book Sightseeing in the Undiscovered Country, and it's fascinating stuff for sure. But I want to go back to when you met your husband, you got married, and you started becoming more and more aware of various paranormal activities, and you started telling friends and family about these things. And how did they react?
Well, actually, I didn't talk about it much at first because I thought it was very charming that his family was into this stuff. I mean, I just figured it was old world Italian culture, part of their culture, not real. But I think after about the first 5 years we were married was when something happened that made me stop and say, uh-oh, I need to be a little bit more open-minded because I can't explain this.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And that happened at my father's funeral.
Oh.
It's a little bit of a story. I helped my mother arrange my father's funeral because she needed some help, but you don't think very clearly when you're doing that. And so I invited the minister who had been at our church when I was growing up and didn't realize that he'd been retired for years. But his wife was thrilled someone remembered him, so she sent him on out. And I'm sitting at the wake between my husband and my mother, And the minister says, everyone, please sit down. I'd like to say a few words. And he starts talking, and we suddenly realize that he's lost his focus. He's just saying random things.
Oh.
But he was such a nice old gentleman. Everyone kind of sat there politely. And after about 15 minutes of this, my husband leaned over and he said, I see your father standing next to the minister. He's tapping his foot. His arms are crossed and he looks very impatient. Now, that in itself would not impress me. Anyone can lean over and say whatever they want. It was what happened a week later that blew me away. That day, I didn't really have time to talk to anyone at the funeral. There were so many people that all you could really say is thank you for coming and, you know, niceties. A week after the funeral, my brother-in-law called and said, Louisa, you know, I didn't want to say anything at the funeral, but I just want you to know that while the minister was talking, your father was standing next to him. His arms were crossed. He was tapping his foot, and he looked very impatient. This blew me away because my husband and his brother had not spoken at the funeral, so they had no way of comparing notes.
Hmm.
But to hear that from two separate people, that now became real for me.
My goodness. All right. Well, I'm convinced regular people do see ghosts and sightseeing in the undiscovered country. The book is available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. It's full of stories like this, and you should check it out for sure. Louisa Oakley Green, I wish we had all day to talk to you, but we do not, sadly. But it's been a pleasure having just a few moments with you. Thank you, and continued good luck and success with your books.
Well, thank you very much.
Happy Halloween, by the way.
And same to you.
All right. Wow.
Cool. All right. Yeah. How about that, huh? It's good stuff.
Yeah, you know what? It's fitting, leading into Halloween, that today is National Cat Day.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, back up a minute. Our previous guest, Louisa Oakley Green, has a website, psychicbystander.com, and it's on our links page, psychicbystander.com. Now, back to the National Cat Day. Cats have long been spooky symbols of the dark side, but for cat lovers, there's a must-have new book out there all about some very interesting cats you may not be aware of. And that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Here are the top five pet costumes this Halloween, according to eBay. Pet costumes: Superman, lion, panda, Batman, and a simple necktie.
No ballerina, I'm
around
surprised.
Your dog. Yeah, not the most popular. It's out of the top five, that's for sure. On this National Cat Day in America, we salute the domesticated feline species with our next guest, Doogie Harner. That's his name. Has written a book which takes a completely original and hysterical take on our feline friends. The book is called Some Very Interesting Cats Perhaps You Weren't Aware Of, and it's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. It's a hoot. Doogie Harner, happy National Cat Day.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You know, I must admit, you are the first Doogie I've ever met.
Yeah, I usually am. It's an uncommon name. I mean, the only other Doogie I've ever heard of is the fictional character, Doogie Howser.
Right.
So.
And he got all the chicks.
Apparently, it's a real name.
It sounds like Doggy too, doesn't it? And you've written a book about cats. No subconscious confliction here, is there?
No. Yeah. Sometimes people call me Doggy, and it's a little insulting.
I didn't mean to insult.
Yeah, no, that's okay. But yeah, there's no connection between my name and the cat book.
All right, let's talk about the book. And what is it about cats that so obsesses and delights so many people?
I think it's how mysterious they are. You know, they seem to have something going on. They seem to be hiding secrets. I had this cat in college. He was an indoor-outdoor cat, and during the day when I was at class, he would just kind of roam the neighborhood. And if he and I were walking together, sometimes people would say hi to him. People I didn't know would say hi to my cat, and they knew his name. And I'm like, how do you know that guy? What do you do when I'm in class? But, you know, when you look at a cat, you can't tell what they're thinking. And they're so confident. And so the reason I did this book was because it's a collection of short stories and illustrations. The reason I did it was because the stories are about kind of like the secret lives of cats. Like, what are they up to when we're not watching them?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I've got to tell you, the book is a lot of fun. You thumb through it. You take us through one cat after another, cats of distinction, cats of character, even cats of ill repute. The two that come to mind are the politician and the evil twin.
Oh, yeah, the evil twin cat. So that's it's a drawing of this cat, and he's got a black goatee, and he's tied up an identical-looking cat. And the text is about the owners wake up and find the cat staring at them while they sleep in this kind of evil way, which is definitely something I've experienced before. You know, sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and your cat's just looking at you, and you're like, what are you plotting?
Yes, exactly. They have that plotting look on their face sometimes. And if you don't feed me soon, I'm going to have to off you. My favorite cat is the ninja cat, because cats, if you think about it, they really are ninjas. They're stealthy, they can jump, hide, they blend in, and God forbid you ever lead with your face in a fight, because they'll rip you to shreds, right?
Yeah, cats are very agile, almost superhumanly so sometimes. I mean, they can, like, scale things, and then they also remind me of ninjas because of the way they seem to disappear sometimes. Like, sometimes I'm looking for my cat, and my apartment is not large. There are only so many places you could hide, but I check every corner, I check under every piece of furniture, and I can't find him. And then a couple minutes later, he reappears, and I don't know where he goes to.
Yeah, because he decided that's when you should find him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how he does it. They use the shadows.
100 pages in this book, hilarious drawings and descriptions. How many of these cats are based on cats you know? I mean, today you're not a crazy cat person, are you? You don't have like 15 or 20 or 30 stuffed into your house?
No, I only have two cats right now. I have two cats and a dog. And most of the cats in the book are either based on a cat I've known or an aspect of my cat's personality. Like there's one cat in the book that thinks he's a puma and is always stalking his owner like he's a gazelle or something. And that was based on my one cat, Bitey, who had a very strong hunting instinct. But then a lot are based on people that I know. Also, like, there's a cat that's an English major and who is not happy about having to work at a coffee shop. And that's based on, you know, my own experience. And so, the book is based on cats I've known, but also people.
The alien cat. Certainly you haven't met an alien cat. Is that correct?
Yeah, so that one is the alien cat, and it's a green cat, and he's got, like, these big alien eyes, and at night he sends updates home to the mothership. Have trained my humans to feed and pet me. They suspect nothing. Sometimes it feels like that, you know. You wonder, you're like, who's the owner here? Who's in charge?
Yeah. Boy, some of these cats really do have big plans, too. And I need to ask you, Viking cat? Really?
Really? What if I said, no, not really. Not really, not really, no.
How do you say that? His name is Hjalmar?
I think that's how you say it. I'm not, my pronunciation of Viking is not as good as it should be. But yeah, so that one, it's a drawing of this super muscly Viking cat, and he's got a battle axe and a big cape, and there's a burning town behind him, and the text says really big, pillage, plunder, nap, because I feel like that's what cats would do after they raised a provincial village. They'd say, okay, that was a good plunder there, now let's find a sunbeam. We've been awake for almost an hour. Yeah. We need to get some shut-eye.
Right, yeah, and you better not have anything to say about it, because it's done, and there will be more. Some very interesting cats perhaps you weren't aware of. It's the new book from Doogie Harner. It's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Cool book, man. Thank you, and good luck with it. We'll talk to you when you get your next book.
Cool, sounds good.
Did I call him Doogie Harner? You know what? His name is Doogie Harner. Horner, H-O-R, like corner, only with an H. Hate when I do that. I was looking at his Twitter page, and it says H-O-R, and I called him Harner twice.
That's all right. I called him Dookie during the break.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mentioned laser pointers earlier in the program.
Yes, you did.
Don't point them at airplanes.
No, it's a bad idea. And here's another reason why not to shine those laser pointers. A American Airlines pilot was coming into land in San Diego from Phoenix just the other day when someone shined a green laser pointer through the window. I saw a picture, a digital image of what that would look like to the pilot. It actually spreads the light all throughout the cabin right into the pilot's eyes.
Oh.
When the plane landed, which it did safely, reports are that the pilot actually had to go to the hospital because of some of the damage done by that laser pointer from such a distance.
If there is a heaven, there will more than likely be unlimited chicken nuggets.
Yes, sir. A glorious event is upon us, Phil. $13 all-you-can-eat chicken nuggets and waffle fries at Chick-fil-A. Are you kidding me?
No, are you?
Yes, this advertisement was shared tens of thousands of times across social media networks everywhere. But an important detail was missed. The promotion was for just one location in Florida. So everybody got all worked up about it, thought they were going to get unlimited chicken McNuggets, Chick-fil-A McNuggets.
Yeah.
And Chick-fil-A has announced an apology for the confusion, but they claim they will not be going national with this promotion.
Oh.
It would probably bankrupt them if they did.
That's too bad.
Especially in some of these states.
We'd like to end the program with a heartwarming story. A guy in northern Minnesota grew a 1,465-pound pumpkin this year, and he used it to crush a minivan over the weekend.
That's good use of a pumpkin.
Which is a thing that people like to do now, apparently. Someone has also dropped one on a minivan at a pumpkin fest in Maine. This happened a couple of weeks ago. So there are all sorts of videos online. Look for this one. Man grows giant pumpkin, then smashes minivan with it.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're on Twitter, at Faf Show. We're on Facebook. Like us. And also, leave us a voicemail message. There are plenty of ways to do that on the website. Look for the blue tab or the button following the stories. We're going to put them on there now, so we want to hear what you have to say. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who's getting fitted for his Halloween costume right now. Oh, you should see it. Hey, for Chris, I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.